Welcome back. We are welcoming back to the program Brad and Lori Kroll of the Friends of Faxon Park to talk a little bit about what the Friends are up to, about what the park is up to, and about a big picnic that's coming up at the end of this week. So welcome to both of you. It's great to see you both. Really appreciate the opportunity
Thanks
to talk to you.
Us.
Sure. Sure. Always a pleasure. Happy to be aboard.
Yeah.
A little rusty. Perhaps.
Like I said, it's like riding a bike, Brad. You yeah. never forget how to do it. It's great to see you.
Yeah,
really good to see you.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a challenging, you know, year or so, but, you know, this too shall pass and we'll get through it. And you just keep going, you know, get the right medical team around me and, you know, I think the future looks bright.
That's great to hear. You know, folks who might not realize you're battling kidney disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you need a transplant. So, Lori, you've been spearheading an effort, I know, to let folks know about that. How is that going?
Yeah, it's going really well, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, the past year has definitely been challenging, I think, for our family. Timing probably could have been better. I was like 6 months pregnant, I think, when Brad ended up in the hospital.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just kind of, it's been a whirlwind of a year. But like Brad said, he has an amazing medical team. You know, thankfully we have wonderful friends and family and a community here that's been so supportive. So we were able to get the word out about Brad's need and really had a wonderfully strong response. So just a huge thank you to anyone and everyone, everything from people dropping off meals at the house, to sending, you know, notes or emails just saying they're thinking of us, to people who have actually stepped forward, like friends or even strangers stepping forward to say, I want to help and donate a kidney to Brad. It's been amazing. So it's really been a blessing over the past year to just see kind of all that positive stuff coming out of it. So, I mean, the good news is, as far as the transplant goes, they, Mass General, they're handling Brad's care, and they kind of keep us in the dark about everything on the donor side. So we really just know what's going on with Brad, and Brad, you know, health-wise, is doing really good right
That's
now.
That's great. That's great.
But the donor side, we do know. What we do know is that they've said basically, you know, they don't need any more names of people who are interested in donating. So process basically, people let them know they want to donate, and Mass General works with them. They have plenty of people that have expressed interest.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as we know, again, we don't have, you know, a ton of details, but there are folks that have started going through the process of getting tested and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So really exciting. And like Brad said, we're taking it a day at a time, not to get like too far ahead of things, but hopeful that that hopefully his match is out there and going through the process and that it will happen sooner rather than later. So.
Well, I guess it's good news that they don't need any more donors
right?
Yeah.
Good news, I guess, if they don't need any more names.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. I'm sure it's been a learning process, along with all the emotions that go with it, you know, and how just the whole donor process works.
Oh, yeah, and kidney disease in general. I mean, it's not one of those things, you know, that you hear a whole lot about, and the impacts that it has to the person who has it, as well as to the family and just the treatment. It's.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So we've learned a lot over the past year,
sure.
for sure.
And Brad, you were telling me that you you really reassess things when you're faced with something like this in your life, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I would just, you know, again, my experience, folks do what they want, but this started out for me as just headaches, random headaches. And finally, I got to the point where I got it checked out, and it turned out to be kidney failure.
Hmm.
So, you know, my friendly suggestion is, you know, kind of getting to the age. Or if you have those, you know, you feel a little bit off, maybe it's the cause of underlying symptoms and, you know, it's worth a call to the doctor.
Sure.
That's just...
Don't ignore it, right?
Don't ignore
yeah.
it. And just in that vein, I just want to express my gratitude to the community. It's been amazing. My family, obviously. My doctor, Josh Hundert, who's local here to Quincy. He lives over in Squanum, ironically.
Yeah.
So,
I know, so strange.
The care I've been receiving is amazing, and when you go through a difficult time, knowing that, you know, the community rallies is pretty special.
I bet.
But we're not here to talk about kidneys. We're here to talk about Friends of Faxon Park.
Well, I'm sure that an organization like that, especially when you're faced with life's challenges, can be a nice respite, right? You get surrounded
nature.
By surrounded by friends and surrounded by nature.
Yeah.
So, Brett, I know you have been an advocate, by the way, for Faxon Park many, many years before you were even on the city council. This has been a passion of yours for a lifetime.
It has.
Yeah.
I mean, and those folks that have visited the space would obviously probably agree when you say it's like one of those untapped gems of the city. And you know, the fact that it's not like, you know, overdeveloped or over sensationalized, that you can literally get lost in miles of trails and feel light years away from the city, and then come back to the starting point and it's, you know, you're right in the middle of it again. Right. It's just another special thing that you know, the city of Quincy has to offer. And nothing is without partnership. I know, you know, Lori, we'll get into this a little bit more, but, you know, we've been fortunate to work with, you know, a lot of great elected officials locally, and obviously Commissioner Murphy, to help sort of advance the efforts down there and continue to make it accessible. And, you know, we're grateful, although we'd like to expand in network, so please take that as an invitation to reach out and join the group. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have a core group of supporters that really sort of go to bat, you know, on a daily, weekly basis to make sure the needs of the park are met.
Sure. I know that some of the, I guess, wish list items include more walking trails, more clearly defined walking trails, maybe some nighttime activities. Lori, I know that you would love to see the GPS
version
of trail map for Faxon Park, right?
Yeah. Yes. And right now, I think, you know, we've recognized that we can only do so much, and it's baby steps. So we've been successful at doing our quarterly cleanups, which have been great.
Yeah.
Just having extra hands in the park. Like any park, you get folks that come through the park and leave behind, you know, trash or what have you. And so our quarterly cleanups have gone really well. Some of the things that we were able to actually get accomplished on our wish list, we really wanted to have a kiosk put up, like you see at the head of a lot of walking trails, where there's sort of like a little roofed bulletin board, for lack of a better term. So Commissioner Murphy was able to help with that, and we got that installed right next to the playground, next to also a porta potty, which was great. So that was one of those needs that we heard from the community, people who visited the playground, as well as people with dogs, as well as people who just came to walk or run on the trails, that they wanted a porta potty. So that was another great item that we were able to get accomplished.
Some of the basics, right?
Yes,
just to make it usable
stuff,
and make it livable, you know, and make it available and accessible to the public. So that's great. What would you like to see?
I think some of the things that we have as kind of immediate next steps, we have planned for a week from, so this Saturday is the picnic at the park, which is a community celebration.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute.
The following Saturday, I want to say it's August 5th, from 10 to 12, anyone that wants to come and meet at the pavilion at the top of the hill, we're actually going to work on clearing off this historic stone benches. I don't know if you've seen them. There's actually, I think there's 26, Mark Costello could hold me to this, but I think there's 26 throughout the park.
Really?
And you'll be walking, you know, sort of walking on, whether you're on the paved road or on the Red Diamond Trail, and you can kind of notice them sort of tucked in the shrubbery or even in places that don't even look accessible. So so that Saturday, what we're going to do is meet as a group at the pavilion with long sleeve shirts, long sleeve pants, because there is, you know, briar bushes, which are no fun, let me tell you, and any like hand tools like pruning shears, things like that that people have, or hedge clippers. And we're going to go and sort of tackle some of the benches to try to clear them off. Oh. A lot of them have like briars or, you know, plants that are either on them or you can't really get to them. So we're going to tackle that, because it is one of the gems, is really those really cool stone benches.
Are
we want to go ahead.
Are they original to the park, do you know?
Yes.
Part of that Depression era World War II.
The Works Project Administration. Yeah.
When they were built, the WPA, right?
Yeah.
So when they were building the wall,
it's
like continuing similar vein.
Oh, all right.
But they actually built these like benches.
Huh. And,
you know, who used to do was Sally Owens.
Sure.
She'd have like the environmental treasures walk around, and it would basically like take you bench to bench. That was one of the things that she covered.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I always found fascinating, the stuff that, you know, Sally would find and sort of like report on.
Been there the whole time that nobody knew, hidden in plain sight, as they
say. Precisely. Yeah.
Okay. That's actually the 6th, August 6th.
Okay, so it's the 6th. Saturday the 6th from 10 to 12,
Okay. And just show up?
Just show up and bring your own gear. So long pants, long shirts, and then if you have, like I said, we will have some extra, you know, pruning shears and hedge clippers. But if you have anything like that, that's great. And we're just going to really work on tackling those beautiful benches.
There is actually a master plan that's been written up and funded, right, for Faxon Park. There is money available.
Yes.
So it's taking advocacy groups, I guess, like the Friends, to kind of implement that and tell the city what to do with it, right?
Yeah, so we have a list of things that we want to move forward with. This past year has been challenging. I mean, I think a big part of that, too, candidly, is just because a lot that's been going on with my family, so I know that I haven't been able to do as much as I would want to with the Friends of Faxon, but we do regularly talk about some of the top priorities of what we want to do, and really for us, becoming a 501c3 is probably the top priority, and that just requires some logistics as far as like paperwork and establishing board members and directors and things like that. Yep. So that we're still ironing out. But like Brad said, Commissioner Murphy's been great about working with us to, you know, any of the ideas or thoughts that we have that we funnel through to him, you know, that he's good at listening and helping with anything.
Yeah, well, it's what, 90 plus acres, Brad? Is it the biggest park in the city?
I would say, well, Blue Hills, right?
Blue Hills or Marymount, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. That's where I was oh, it's Marymount. Because then if you take it into account, Black's Creek, that whole.
But still, 90 plus acres in an urban setting.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. But just the tree cover in there is, like I said, you go walk on those trails or run or whatever, and it's just, you feel miles away. And
it was just a little history. It was gifted to the city by the Faxon family, right, over 130 years ago. It started out as, I think, about 18 or 20 acres and kind of grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. Does it need to grow anymore, do you think, or is it big enough?
It's growing.
It's growing?
Talk a little bit about that.
Oh.
What?
Well, the blue dot.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's one piece of the, talking about the acquisitions that the city, you know, the city has made to make it sort of grow. There's a funny spot at the park. So if you're up at where the pavilion is, and the Red Diamond Trail kind of loops what we would call the upper Red Diamond, but it goes sort of back towards the houses on Biden Road and Penn's Hill. There's a trail that kind of cuts off to the left, and it has blue markers on it, and we call the Blue Dot Trail. But that loops actually down and back to a parcel. There's sort of a funny shaped diamond parcel that goes all the way back and kind of touches Braintree, but a lot of folks don't know about it. So if you're following that path, you end up coming to one of the walls at Faxon, and you actually go over the wall, and that brings you further down. You can follow the blue dots.
So then you're behind like Walmart.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Skyline.
Yes. Okay.
Huh. So we're working on, you know, trying to make that more folks more aware of that trail, because it is a pretty neat trail. It's a bit more technical, so you do need, you know, you would want sturdy footing, and there isn't stairs getting up over the wall, so you do need to be kind of, you know, good at climbing or whatnot.
Gotcha, okay.
But that's one of the areas that we want to, if we have the trail map, that we'll be able to show folks that it even exists, and then mark the trail a little bit better so people know once they get back there that they can continue on.
That was actually done, one of the caveats that went into the development of the falls.
Yes.
That former Councilor Raimondi had put in was that the city purchased that. I think Steve Purdy also was involved with it as well. That the city purchased the open space back there and therefore like prohibit any further development into, you know, that area.
Okay.
Which was a great move back then, you know.
So now it just needs to be opened up and it made accessible.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty neat back there, you know.
Sure.
Again, I've gotten lost, full disclosure.
Yes, he has.
Well, we've learned over the past couple of years how important being outdoors is and physical activity.
It was a respite in the pandemic.
You know, even if it's just walking, you know, and what better place than especially in a hot summer day.
Yeah.
And I know that the Friends have kind of spoken about, you know, the prospect of if we get to a point where trails are maybe a little more open, you know, is there an opportunity to maybe offer like snowshoeing?
Oh, okay.
That'd be kind of neat.
Okay. Or cross-country skiing, perhaps, something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Just, you know, getting people into the park.
Yes.
Well, also preserving it, too, at the same time. So preserving the nature that's there, the animals that are there. There are, you know, lots of cool wildlife up in that area. I mean, I've seen coyotes, I've seen deer, I've seen snakes. So And I know Commissioner Murphy had was working on one project towards more the front of the park, the lower Red Diamond, as we would call it, near the playground, to work on some disc golf. But the disc golf that they're going to be putting in there, the goal is not to disturb, you know, some of the larger trees there. So the trees would be kept in place, to, and you could the course would sort of navigate around
the trees. Oh, good, because anytime you start talking about trees, Lori, as you know,
it's,
you get folks that are, as you know, as a ward councilor,
Brad. Yeah. Issue.
Mixed opinions.
Yes, exactly. How many friends are there now?
The core group is pretty small.
Is it?
It's probably 10 of us, maybe, at the most.
Right.
But then we have a sort of a peripheral group that we keep informed via our email list. I saw the email was on the screen, but friendsoffaxonpark@gmail.com.
There's
probably at least 50 to 60 people
that
stay informed on what's going on and participate in things like our cleanups and the event, the picnic at the park event that's coming up on Saturday.
Is it all in Ward 2? Is Faxon Park all in Ward 2?
Part that the city owns is, So then you get into like this conversation, it's a much larger conversation, is it's like a sliver of land behind a submarine testing business that, you know, potentially if the city got an easement, then you could connect, basically, you could walk from, say, Faxon Park Road down to Braintree, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, like Echo Lake.
Wow.
I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah. And,
yeah, Braintree actually has some conservation land that, like I said, it's sort of strange the way the lineup is, but it's like Faxon Park, and then there's a little triangle of additional land for Faxon Park. There's a private property, which is what Brad mentioned, with a submarine, and then Braintree has conservation land right on the other side of the submarine testing. So there's a huge stretch of sort of natural land that has a tiny piece that has sort of a private property piece in the middle.
A perfect place for a picnic.
Yes.
Let's talk about what's going on Saturday, the picnic at the park.
Yes. So, for those that came out last year, it was a great event. We had a really, really wonderful time. Last year, we were blessed with great weather, and we had, let's see, a food truck. We had some ice cream. We had great music by the Wolf Pack. Overall, it was a wonderful event. So
Pencil
this year,
Punch.
And Pencil Punch, yes, of course. Our son decided he was going to sell punch. So, so this year, very similar to last year, so we have the Wolf Pack will be returning. They were a huge hit. They
really?
Play a great mix of music, and everyone seemed to really enjoy them. So they'll be coming back.
Okay.
And then we have also a local band of some younger folks, Daisy Band. So I guess the young kids would know Daisy Band. But these
You've
kids
had
are,
them on here, I believe.
They're
they
in high school.
They also work with like the Sprints.
Oh, okay. Sure, sure.
So
all right.
It's like another
variation. Were they part of Porch Fest? They must have been part of Porch Fest this year. Okay.
Yeah, right. A couple of the band members live up in the Ward 2 area.
I do remember one of them saying that they played in both bands.
Yes.
In the Sprints and the Daisy Band.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Yeah, so they'll be there.
Nice.
They'll open up, and then we have the Wolf Pack, like I said, from last year. They were great.
Yeah.
We'll have hot dogs, hamburgers.
Yep.
Hopefully have some cool treats there as well. And, yeah, just come bring your blanket or a chair. That's one thing I would definitely say because, you know, I mean, you can sit on the grass, but ideally you have a chair or a blanket. And, you know, bring your reusable bottle or some, you know, something to drink. And either bring your own picnic or come and enjoy some of the hot dogs and hamburgers and relax and enjoy a nice night, evening in the park.
2 to 6 p.m. And
2 to 6.
The long-range forecast looks very nice.
So, I saw that, so I'm hoping.
I have not looked by design.
Hoping it holds. Logistically, how do I get to picnic at the park, Lori? How does that?
So logistically, you would want to come to Faxon Park, and at the entrance where the playground is, drive up the hill, and I'd recommend just parking basically anywhere on the right-hand side as you come up the hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And free?
Free.
Free, free, free.
Free fun for the community.
Okay.
Welcome to everybody.
Yeah. Yep. Welcome to everyone.
Was
come out, relax.
Was last year the first one?
Last year was the first one, and I was surprised. I kind of felt, you know, people really enjoyed it. So I think we're going to get probably a bigger crowd this year than we did last year. It was a really nice event. So just the timing of the event, 2 to 6, you know, the sun's starting to go down. It's not too hot up there. You can just kind of sit and relax. There were kids running around. Some kids had soccer balls and such, and it was just like a nice, very nice event.
Nice. How does one become a friend of Faxon Park?
We love friends. You can just email friendsoffaxonpark@gmail.com.
Okay.
We don't have really a social media presence right now. If you like social media and you want to help with that, then please send me an email at friendsoffaxonpark@gmail.com. I would love a social media volunteer.
Yep.
But right now it's basically just the email. And then we do have an Instagram account that has some pictures of the park that we share periodically.
Okay.
Friends of Faxon Park, yeah.
Any other events? events planned for later this year?
So we have the park bench clearing, which is the following Saturday.
Yep, okay.
And then we'll have just our quarterly cleanups is the only thing we have planned at this time.
Okay.
And those I send out announcements via the email address. So if you've emailed me, you should be on the email list and you get notification when we have any events.
Will we get to meet the entire Kroll clan at the picnic?
Oh, they'll be there.
The kids and all, yeah?
They'll be running around selling punch, perhaps. We'll see.
Joe, real quick, because I get a feeling we're closing it out in a moment. I just want to take a moment and thank some of the partners that have helped us. I actually received notification this morning, ironically, that the Faxon Park itself, via the Friends, will be awarded another $50,000 through the state in this year's budget. So that's a long-standing relationship that Speaker Mariano has certainly had and continues to advocate for his community. He's also lives up in the area.
Yes. Yeah.
And obviously the mayor has been worked
strong
with
advocate.
Me once upon a time, and I trust now the the current counselor to continue to move the mission forward.
That's great.
And obviously the volunteers, Perdio's family has been very active with that group for a long time, and also Mark and Kathy Costello. They should get the citizenship award. It's literally like everything
every
that goes on up there, they're very well aware of and are able to communicate and further build that relationship with the city. So that's how things get done.
Way to bury the lead, Brad. You hold the best for last. Thanks for bringing that up, and best to you.
Thank you.
And your family. And
thanks so much.
And
thanks for your constant support. I just want to thank my friends at 1000 Southern Artery who have really reached out during this tough time.